Blog Talk Radio.
In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus our Christ. Good God day to all of you. This is the day that our Lord has made, and we will rejoice on purpose and be glad in it, no matter what. Why? Because our Lord is good, and His mercy is new every morning, and it is from everlasting to everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. This is Minister Renee Ellis, also known as the Little One. And I would like to welcome everyone to today's broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, live from HNLC Studios. I give all honor and all glory and all praise and worship and adoration to the head of my life and my everything, my Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. I give recognition and respect to my pastors, Chief Apostle Dr. Prince A. Miles and Pastor Lady Monica R. Miles of the International Gospel Deliverance Center Church located in Southfield, Michigan. And I also give recognition and respect to my covering, my supporters and sponsors and founders of the Harvest New Life Church International, Apostle Charles E. Ellis and Pastor Patty Ellis of Plano, Texas. I thank God for them allowing me to be a part of the HNLC Studios broadcasting team, all for the glory and honor of God. You can listen to my podcast called Food for Thought any time of the day at your leisure on Breaker, Apple Podcasts, Breaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Odyssey, and many other podcast platforms where we study the Word of God together. All you have to do is type in the Little One, Food for Thought, and the podcast should come up. We're going to give everybody an opportunity to get their study tools, all of the things we use when we get together at this time on Tuesdays and Thursdays to study the Word of God together as a family, and we'll be right back with a word of prayer and get right into our study. Amen. All right, I trust everyone has had an opportunity to get their Bibles and notebooks and pens and paper, all of the things that we use when we get together to study the Word of God together as a family unit, united in the love of Christ, united by the common denominator, Jesus the Christ. In Him, all distinctions vanish. There's no denominations, there's no Jew or Greek or bond or free or none of that. In Jesus Christ, in the love of Christ, all are one. Amen. Let us go before the throne of grace with a word of prayer. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank You, Lord, for being who You are to us. You are our provider. You are our protector. You are our first love, our beloved, our Father, who art in heaven, and holy and wonderful and excellent and altogether lovely and almighty and all powerful and everlasting is Your name in all the earth. We give You glory. We give You honor. We give You worship. We give You praise. We worship you, O God, for you alone are worthy. You are the one that is worthy of all glory, of all accolades, of all boasting, of all homage. You, Lord Jesus, deserve it all. Our hallelujah belongs to you. For without you, we can do nothing. Apart from you, Lord, we have nothing and we can do nothing. It is in you that we live, Lord Jesus. And it is in you that we move. And it is in you, O God, that we have our very existence. Thank you for this time, this moment, this opportunity, this day in this dispensation of time that you have given us as a gift to declare the wonders of your name, to declare your works among the people, to declare and testify of your greatness, of your awesomeness, of our firsthand experience with you in our lives, lifting you up and giving you all the glory. We ask that you look on the listening audience on today, Father. We thank you for answering their prayers and touching them with a special touch, wrapping your loving arms around them and letting them know how much you love them, how much you care for them, how much you want them, and how much they are needed in the kingdom and in the earth. Lord, we ask as your conduits, your vessels on this day, that you hide us all behind the cross so that it is all of you that gets the glory and none of us. And Lord, I ask that you put your words on my tongue and on my lips, that which you will have me to deliver unto your people on this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. To God be all the glory for the great things he has done, is doing, and is yet going to do. Amen. Our past study sessions, we have been in James chapter 5, and this past study session, I believe, we got up to verse 11. So today, we will be in James chapter 5, and we will begin with verse 12 and work our way down to verse 16. I will be reading from the Amplified Classic Edition, as always, and we all can follow along in our translations, as we always do together when we study the Word of God on Tuesdays and Thursdays. We thank God for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence. For you alone are the teacher, and you alone are the one that teaches us and brings us into all truth. We yield ourselves to you right now, and we give you free rein to us individually as well as collectively, and reveal the things to us that you will have us to know and understand. Thank you that we have ears to hear and eyes to see, in Jesus' name. Beginning at verse 12 in James chapter 5, James says, through the Holy Spirit, he says, "But above all things, my brethren, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath. But let your yes be a simple yes, and yet let your no be a simple no, so that you may not sin and fall under condemnation. In not so many words, it's just saying, the Holy Spirit is saying here to let your yes be yes and let your no be no. In other words, let your word be true. As God's word is true, and every man a liar, according to Scripture, we must reflect him. Excuse me. We must reflect him as his children. So as we speak, our no should be no, and our yes should be yes. We should be people of our word. And that is a daily process that the Holy Spirit works in us. Because being people of our word, when we say we're going to do something, it is so important that we follow through and do it. You know, a lot of people swear by this and swear by that, and I say, well, they say, I swear that so-and-so and so-and-so. No. If you say that and then don't do it, that's where you fall into sin and fall under condemnation. Jesus never said something that he did not do. He always kept his word, just like he keeps his word with us today. He said, I will never leave you, and I will never, no, never forsake you. And he means what he says, just like Abba means what he says. And we as his children should also mean what we say. Amen. Let's go on to verse 13. It says, is anyone among you afflicted? And the Amplified Classic Edition says, ill-treated or suffering evil. Is anyone among you afflicted? Is anyone among you ill-treated? Treated badly? Disregarded? Suffering evil? Being talked about? Being made fun of? Being ostracized? It says simply, in the next part of this verse, he or she should pray. Isn't that interesting that the Holy Spirit gives the remedy for being afflicted as prayer, which is direct communication to Almighty God, which is why our prayer language in the Holy Spirit is so important. Because it says here, he or she should pray. Is anyone among you afflicted, ill-treated, suffering evil? He or she should pray. Pray and build yourself up in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Why? Because the Holy Spirit knows the perfect will and the mind of Almighty God. And in that moment, in that second, he knows how to pray for the past, the present, and the future. Because in and of ourselves, with our intellect, with our words, we do not know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit makes intercession in a direct communicating line in our holy language directly to Almighty God. And he prays the perfect will of God for the past, for the present, and for the future. The last part of verse 13 says, is anyone glad at heart? He or she should sing praise to God. You know, it's often said, the sign of a merry heart is a person who has and sings a song. I, in my going about, can be maybe grocery shopping or going somewhere, and I'm sure you all can do the same thing, and you run across a person that's just humming. They're just humming. Or a child who is singing. Just singing. Sign of a merry heart. Glad at heart. A song. Sing unto the Lord a new song. And let his praises fill the temple. For he is the King's and the Lord of Lords. Bow down before him. We are the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Ghost. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine and heals as we sing praises and glory to God. Verse 14 says, is anyone among you sick? He should call in the church elders, the spiritual guides, and they should pray over him, anointing him with oil in the Lord's name, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. You know, in 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 15, let's go over there for a little bit. It says here in verse 12 in 1 John 2, it says, I am writing to you, little children, because for his name's sake, your sins are forgiven, pardoned through his name, and on account of confessing his name, talking about Christ. And he says, John says here, I am writing to you, fathers, elders, because you have come to know and recognize and be aware of and understand him who has existed from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have been victorious over the wicked one. I write to you, boys and lads, because you have come to know and recognize and be aware of the Father. Verse 14 says, I write to you, fathers, because you have come to know, recognize, and be conscious of and understand him who has existed from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and vigorous, and the word of God is always abiding in you, in your hearts, and you have been victorious over the wicked one. God calls the young because they are strong. And he calls the old because they are wise and they know the way. Why is it that James, through the Holy Spirit, said in verse 14 in James chapter 5, Is anyone among you sick? He should call in the church elders, the spiritual guides, and they should pray over him, anointing him with oil in the Lord's name. I don't know about you, but elders in the church have been through some things. They've had some experience in the ways of God. They've had to fare through many storms and many trials and many circumstances. And those elders are full of wisdom. And they know what to do because they know how to do because they've done it for so long. And we young ones in the faith should respect and honor and pay attention to and listen to our elders, because wisdom is the principal thing. And God has put our elders in our lives for a reason. Time is continuing to move forward, and our elders are full of wisdom. And they can lead and guide and teach and tell and share and impart things in us to go their way that have not gone that way before, that we may need along our journey. Verse 14 says in James chapter 5, is anyone among you sick? He should call in the church elders, the spiritual guides, and they should pray over him, anointing him with oil in the Lord's name. Verse 15 says, and the prayer that is of faith. Notice it's not just any prayer that's prayed over the sick, that the elders pray. But it is the prayer that is of faith, as verse 15 says, will save him who is sick, and the Lord will restore him. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. The prayer of faith. You know, James chapter 1, as we have been studying the book of James, and James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8 says, if any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask. Let him ask of the giving God, who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly without reproaching or fault finding, and it will be given him. God will give us wisdom in conjunction with our prayer as we pray in faith. We should be consulting God first before we do anything, especially before we pray for someone else. We should be so sensitive to hear from the Holy Spirit what it is that we need to pray for that individual, because the Holy Spirit knows everything. And we, as his instruments, his conduits, his channel, his avenue, his pathway, should be yielded to him so that he can flow through us and speak through us to the individual through prayer and words of exhortation and encouragement and healing. We must be sensitive to hear him and consult him first James 1, 5 and 8 says, if any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the giving God, who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly without reproaching or fault finding, and it will be given him. Only it must be in faith that he or she asks, with no wavering, no hesitating, no doubting. For the one who wavers or hesitates or doubts is like the billowing surge out at sea that is blown hither and thither and tossed by the wind. Verse 7 says, for truly let not such a person imagine that he will receive anything he asks for from the Lord. That's powerful. That is detrimental. When we ask God for something, we must not doubt. We must believe him and take him at his word. Because in verse 8 of James chapter 1, as it talks about the double-minded man, let's go back to verse 7. It says, for truly, let not such a person imagine that he will receive anything he asks for from the Lord. Talking about the one who wavers, hesitates, and doubts. You can't be that way if you're praying the prayer of faith for someone who is sick. Verse 7 says, for truly, let not such a person imagine that he will receive anything he asks for from the Lord. For being as he is, a man of two minds, hesitating, dubious, irresolute, he is unstable and unreliable and uncertain about everything he thinks, feels, and decides. God doesn't want us that way with him. When he says it, he wants us to believe it. He wants us to know it. He wants us to trust it. He wants us to act and rest in it and know it. John chapter 15, verse 7, Jesus says, if you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will, he said, and it shall be done for you. He didn't say it might be done for you. He didn't say 5 years from now it'll be done for you. He said it shall be done for you. The manifestation of it may not be immediate, and yet it may be immediate, because according to Psalm 46 and 1, God is our refuge and strength, mighty and impenetrable to temptation. He is a very present and well-proved help in trouble. Is sickness trouble? So is healing present? If the prayer of faith is prayed, and when the prayer of faith is prayed, and we believe and trust in and know that God is going to do what he says he's going to do, according to Isaiah 55:11, we speak the word, we speak his word, what he said he will do. He said his name is I Am. And it doesn't matter when you say I am, it is still I am in the present. And as you say I am, as he is I am, he has taken care of the I was and the I will be. Because he's present in the moment as I am. And it doesn't matter when you say his name, I am. He is present. He's taken care of the I was and the I will be when he said, I am that I am. Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 25. And Jesus replying said to them, have faith in God constantly. And this is a constant work that we have to work at. We've got to train ourselves to have faith in God constantly, no matter what it looks like, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the situation, no matter what is going on around us, have faith in God constantly, Jesus said. He says, truly I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him. For this reason, Jesus says, I am telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted to you, and you will get it. Why? Because who we're praying to is the sure, well-proven foundation. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He said, I am that I am. Period. And Jesus says in verse 25, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him and let it drop. Leave it and let it go. In order that your Father who is in heaven may also forgive you your own failings and shortcomings and let them drop. Going back to James chapter 5, verse 15. And the prayer that is of faith will save him who is sick, and the Lord will restore him, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8 says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. But in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite requests, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. The direct line of communication from us to him, from him to us, us hearing him, him hearing us. Being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Building ourselves up in our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost and allowing the Holy Spirit to pray through us the perfect will of God. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, it says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything by prayer and petition, definite requests with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God, and God's peace, verse 7 says, shall be yours. That tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Why will that peace be ours? Because we know who we are praying to. We know answering our prayers. Excuse me. Let me get some water. We know who is answering our prayers. Who is it that we are praying to? Who is it that we are believing in? Who is it that we are adhering to? Who is it that we are trusting in? Who is it that we are resting in? Is he our everything? Has he proven himself to be faithful? Has he proven himself to be sure? Has he proven himself in our lives individually? Just think about it. Excuse me. Has he proven himself to be what Psalm 46 verse 1 says? Our refuge and strength, mighty and impenetrable to temptation, a very present and well-proved help in trouble. Going back to Philippians chapter 4, looking at verse 8, he says, "For the rest, brethren, whatever is true," this is what we do when we rest after we pray, when we are waiting for the manifestation of our prayers, of who we pray to. Jesus isn't, well, maybe yes and maybe no. Knowing the will of God is knowing the word of God. And this is what we do when we pray, after we pray, and we wait for the manifestation, and we expect it. We expect it. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. "For the rest, brethren, whatever is true," did God say he was going to answer prayer? Did he say he was going to heal? Is he the healer? Is he the one that brings forth wholeness? "For the rest, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence and is honorable and seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there is any virtue and excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on and weigh and take account of these things." Fix your minds on them. Fix your minds on the sure foundation, Jesus the Christ, him who is the healer, him who is the restorer, him who is the one who answers all prayers, him who operates in the present that I am. First John chapter 5, verses 12 through 15 says, "He who possesses the Son has that life," talking about eternal life. "He who does not possess the Son of God does not have that life," eternal life, talking about possessing Jesus Christ. Verse 13, it says, "I write this to you who believe." Who believe in, adhere to, trust in, and rely on the name of the Son of God in the peculiar services and blessings conferred by him on men, so that you may know with settled and absolute knowledge that you already have life. Yes, eternal life. And this is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness which we have in him. We are sure that if we ask anything and make any request according to his will, in agreement with his own plan, he listens to and hears us. And if since we positively know that he listens to us in whatever we ask, we also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted us as our present possessions the requests made of him. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this lesson on today. Teach us the more, Holy Spirit, to hear your voice, to stand in firm, flat-footed confidence in our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. In Almighty God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, that what we pray according to his will and his plan, Lord, that we have, because you have granted it to us as your children. We yield ourselves to you, and we thank you for teaching us and helping us to see and hear and be bold and confident and rely on and trust in and adhere to and lean on you and you alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the Lord continue to bless all of us. May the Lord continue to keep all of us. May the Lord continue to make his beautiful face shine upon each and every one of our lives, upon each of us. And may the Lord continue to be ever so gracious unto each of us, as he always is. And may the Lord continue to lift his countenance and turn his face toward us. And may the Lord continue to give us all his divine peace, the peace and tranquility of him, the confidence and rest in who he is, the fullness and essence of fullness of him that filleth us all in all. This is Minister Renee Ellis, also known as the Little One, saying God bless you on this day. Pray for me as I pray for you, and give God glory and lift him up in Jesus' name. Amen. Until we meet again. Good God day.